early in the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian, I can still get high. I can play the guitar like I'm...
And ladies and gentlemen, we are into another episode. Another fantastic episode of Drive Through HR. We absolutely appreciate y'all listening to the show and supporting Brian and Nisha and myself. We're every day we're amazed at just the support that we get from the community. And without any further ado, we have a wonderful guest. Can't wait to hear her story. And without Bernadette, would you do us a favor and kind of introduce yourself to the audience?
I sure will. First of all, I'm so flattered to have been invited onto the program. Of course, doing my homework a little bit, I've listened to many of your broadcasts, and to be in such auspicious company is really fantastic. I'm really humbled. But my name is Bernadette Palumbo. I'm the Director of Talent Acquisition and University Recruitment at BASF, the world's leading chemical company.
Yeah. I can't wait because this is a company I've been following for I can't remember a world without BASF. So you're like the company that does all kinds of stuff that people know of but they don't really know. So I can't wait to kind of get a little bit behind the veil and learn what's occupying your world. So tell us what's top of mind. What's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, you know, I have to admit, first of all, usually I sleep pretty well. And that's, I think, in no large part to the fact that I'm working for such a fantastically financially well-run company that's really a great place to work, and I say that with all honesty. But what most keeps me up at night, I think, on those occasions is, you know, how talent acquisition can be a source of a real competitive advantage to help BASF achieve continued profitable organic growth. We're growing, continuing to grow, and we're really committed to forming the best team. And, you know, how we can do that, how we can attract the best talent to BASF as a source of real business competitive advantage.
Well, let's talk about that, the best team. So the best team is a quality metric. So you're looking for folks that are going to stick around, add a lot of value. What's when people are attracted, because I would imagine you're kind of beating people off with a broom, when people are attracted to BASF, what are they attracted to? Is it quality of life? Is it compensation? Is it the business stability? Like what are some of the selling points that you kind of usually lead to with your discussions?
Well, you know, I think I always lead personally with my own story. And maybe I'll share first a little bit about why I joined BASF. I kind of came to a crossroads in my career, and I had an opportunity for a mid-career, what was actually a lateral move from a much smaller company to the world's largest and leading chemical company, which is BASF. And I had a large amount of respect for BASF, not only as an industry leader, but also the fact that it was a real global leader. I wanted the opportunity to use my language skills. I sometimes speak English, but also speak Spanish and Italian, and I'm currently taking German classes as well. And so, you know, those are some of the things that attracted me to BASF. And I think it's also why others are attracted. Once we share some of our best-kept secrets, I guess I'll say, in terms of the breadth of industries into which we sell our products, aerospace, construction, personal care, automotive, and once we share that there's tremendous opportunity to have a global career or at least to work globally as a part of a global team, people are just astonished, I think. We're creating chemistry for a sustainable future here, and that's pretty important. And the way that we do that is we think through the power of our connected minds. We're a globally connected organization, and that's how we get things done.
Well, that's great to know. And in fact, I'm so fascinated to hear your employer branding stories when it comes to innovation and sustainability. If you can talk a little bit more about what are your strategies in attracting talent when it comes to a global platform? Is there a different trends that you have seen if you work in United States or if you are going to attract talent in some other countries? Home strategies are a little bit different, or let me say the values that you have seen the candidates perceive and consider are different.
Sure. Well, I think attracting the best talent really involves both internal initiatives and external efforts, I guess I would say. Where we start is really a couple of steps back from talent acquisition, and that's with really robust workforce planning. So we want to continuously be able to identify and forecast what our future talent needs are. For us right now, that means heavy emphasis on identifying top talent in the areas of engineering, R&D, and sales and marketing. And the way we reach out to that top talent, to more specifically answer your question, I think is generally the same no matter whether you're in South America or in Asia or in Europe or in North America. We want to create a really great candidate experience and provide much more of a personal touch. We're really committed to hiring people with diverse opinions and thoughts and experiences, and we really have to be committed to that because we want the people who come to work here who are reflective of the markets and the industries we serve, which, as I mentioned earlier, are pretty broad.
When is it best to talk about comp? And I ask this in the context of a buddy of mine forwarded me a position, a business partner position, an HR business partner position for HP earlier this morning, and it had a wonderful position description that we would all recognize, but there was no mention of comp. There was no category for comp, and he didn't even preface it with a comp disclaimer, et cetera. And so I found myself in a quandary like, who do I forward this to? I've got all kinds of people in my network that probably would apply, but is this an $85,000 job or a $285,000 job? Like, there's a context. And so I only ask you that question, like, when do you find it appropriate to talk total compensation with somebody?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think you and I have been doing this for maybe longer than we care to admit. But I would say, the situation regarding having that all-important, total rewards, total compensation conversation has changed over the years. Whereas, 20 years ago, I may have advised, don't have that conversation until you get to the final interview. Never lead with compensation. But I think these days and the way we share information through social media and other avenues, I don't think there's really any wrong time. And I think it's actually a good idea to establish expectations on both sides. I mean, I've been, solicited, as I'm sure both of you have, at certain points in your careers. And I tend to lay things on the line, I think. I'll say, look, this is about what I'm looking for. This is where I live. This is the condition of the external labor market. This is what, my value is. And if there's an opportunity to continue with a process based on my expectations, and if they match the expectations of the company that I'm targeting, then great. If not, we agree that it's probably not the right opportunity. So I don't think these days there are any hard and fast rules.
Yeah, great to know. Well, going back to your previous point, as you said, most of the candidates are engineering or the people who are going to work in R&D department. So if you can take us through your recruitment strategies, that would be really, really great. So where do you find these engineering and R&D candidates mostly? Are they on social media or are they on through employee reference? Where do you get your candidates from?
Sure, Nisha, that's a good question. Maybe I'll just go back and add to what I said earlier. We're certainly looking for great engineers and R&D professionals, no doubt about it. But we also have very exciting careers here in, as I said, sales and marketing, supply chain, in controlling areas, finance areas, accounting. And we start, as our basis, recruiting at the university level. So we have very robust professional development and leadership development programs here across all of virtually all of the disciplines that I just mentioned. We go on campus to about 25 schools every year to recruit for our rotational programs. And that's a great way to come into BASF and really learn about our brand, but also how exactly we do what we do. Those folks have the opportunity to have up to four different rotations during their two-year program, and they get exposed to several different BASF sites, as well as different departments and disciplines across the program. So that's the first thing that we do. We establish our brand at the university level. But we also do a lot of mid-career hiring across all of the disciplines I mentioned. And we do a lot on social media and related technologies. You can view our enhanced profile on sites like Glassdoor and some others. We use the LinkedIn tool quite heavily, but we also source in a more personal way by participating in the most visible and the most recognized diversity conferences. Because as I said, we are looking for people who are reflective of the markets and the industries that we serve. So we need to source for that diversity in places like National Black MBA, Society of Women Engineers, and some others at the national level. And then we're also involved at the local level with some of the local chapters of these organizations. We hosted a great event at our headquarters here in Florham Park, New Jersey last year through National Black MBA, the local New Jersey chapter, at which we invited local talent to come in and talk to us about how to be more effective in networking to find a position.
What's your trick to show candidates kind of a behind the veil, you know, the day in life type stuff? You know, they've fallen in love with the brand, they really like the position, you know, but they don't how it is. They don't know how things happen behind the veil and what goes on at, when the work week starts, etc. How do you visualize that for them?
Yeah, that's also a great question and probably one of the most difficult things to do. To convert that attraction and perhaps even desire into somebody actually hitting the application button and submitting their application. As I said earlier, we try to make it as personal as possible. So a few things that we've done, which actually have been recognized in social media, surprisingly enough, you know, people get a hold of some of these things. Early on in my tenure in this role, we created what we call the hiring at a glance document. So we wanted to give candidates, as you say, kind of a behind-the-scenes glimpse, behind-the-veil glimpse of what our hiring process is like. You know, why is it maybe sometimes it may take a couple of weeks for us to get back to them? Well, that's because the hiring manager is looking at your resume and they're deciding which candidates he or she would like to interview. And then we describe our interview process. It could be a panel, it could be a presentation, it could be one-on-one. We'd like to set expectations really early in that regard. And then when we do invite you on site to interview, we try to make it as holistic as possible. You know, you will get a site tour. You'll have the opportunity to speak with a number of leaders on the site oftentimes. You'll have interviewed with several different people. And you really get a taste and a flavor, as you say, of what it's going to be like to work here. And then here in Florham Park at our corporate headquarters, we're very fortunate to have been able to construct a very nice innovation center where we can show off, as you say again, behind the scenes, behind the veil, what some of the products that we are manufacturing, where they end up. You know, so we can show you, for example, things like, you know, the product that we make, which is a foam insulator, which goes into radiant heat flooring. We actually have a display of that. We make a natural antioxidant that's used to preserve freshness in Cheerios, which is made by General Mills. We make certain what are called coagulants to improve the efficiency of water purification. So, you know, because we're able to bring people in and have them step into our innovation center and touch and feel what it is we do, that's how we take people behind the veil.
Right. It's the we make a lot of products you buy better. That's kind of that's been the story. Let me ask you about candidate experience. When people talk about candidate experience, how does that translate to you? Like, what do you think about the candidate experience?
Well, it's funny. I make it a point to ask as my first question to each candidate that I see, how has your experience been? You know, have the recruiters done their job in sharing with you, you know, enough information about the company to, you know, allow you to make an informed decision? Have our hiring managers, you know, been on time and prepared for your interview? Have you learned enough about the site at which you'll be working? So the first thing to address is actually ask candidates, you know, how their experience has been. And as I said, I do that one-on-one, but we also survey our candidates. So whether or not you receive an offer from us, and by the way, whether or not you're an internal or an external candidate, you'll receive a candidate satisfaction survey from us, and we'll ask you some of these questions. You know, would you recommend BASF to a friend or relative? We'd like to know that. Would you apply to us again, even if you haven't received an offer? I think people like to be asked, you know.
That's great to know. Well, when it comes to, you know, the work atmosphere at the chemical industry, when I'm seeing it would be, you know, highly stressed. People would consider, they might think that, okay, this is a highly stressed environment, but we don't even know what great work culture that you have inside your organization. So how do you kind of let the candidates know in that first connection itself, hey, this is our work culture. So how do you kind of letting the candidate know of the feel of how do you step inside the organization, you know, sort of glimpse to your work culture, how do you let them know?
Sure. Well, in addition to some of the things that I've already mentioned, we do provide a pretty robust training to all of our hiring managers regarding not only how to interview, but also how to explain our culture and our values and our employer brand, our value proposition, right? What can we promise or commit to a candidate in exchange for him or her agreeing to come and work here? And, you know, we make sure that all of our employees can explain our strategic principles and some of our values. You know, the fact that we may have 14 regional business units across the North America region, but we act and we behave as one company. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're really working to drive sustainable solutions. We'll highlight some examples for them. For example, having been involved recently with the Seattle Mariners Zero Waste Initiative, developing a biodegradable peanut bag, you know, for them to sell their peanuts at the stadium, but also, you know, to sell a container that's biodegradable. I think highlighting examples and you know, in the ways in which we innovate to make our customers more successful goes to the heart of what you said in the beginning, you know, to be able to form the best team.
Cool. So let's look at the interview process when you interview a candidate. So how do you know that candidate is going to be a great culture fit for your organization?
Yeah, so we focus on our global competencies. So whether you're interviewing for a position in customer care or as a business manager for one of our business units or in one of our service functions such as human resources or others, we want to identify and we ask questions regarding their skills and abilities and competence in a few key areas. You know, some of those are, you know, acting in a business-like manner, you know, acting with the drive to be an entrepreneur, creating new opportunities, continuing to work with an innovation mindset, putting the customer first, able to clearly communicate with colleagues and with customers, whether they be internal or external, having an appreciation of diversity. I've mentioned that a number of times already, I know, but I think it's important to continue to point that one out. You know, because we are a global company, we often work cross-regionally and cross-culturally. So those are some of the things, the characteristics that we would like to identify in talent during the interview process.
So ask your favorite interview question. What is it?
I'm not sure I should share that with your thousands of listeners. They'll be too prepared for the interview.
Hey, but it shows that they would have done their research. You got to respect that.
Okay, yes, I do. Well, one of my favorites is, if you could pick three adjectives to describe yourself, what would they be and why? You know, that's sort of an out-of-the-box, you know, non-behavioral interview-based question, I know, but it can be very telling.
Oh, I love that one. I might steal that one from you. Mine's the, and so tried and true, but it's, how are you misunderstood?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I like that. I'm going to steal that one.
Right? We should just have these calls so we steal these back and forth. So one of the things, we've talked a little bit about culture. We've talked about values. You've peeled back behind the veil. I had someone ask me on Twitter yesterday a question that I'm still kind of confounded by, and it was, would you ever see yourself giving someone negative feedback in the process to see how they consume negative feedback? Meaning, would you ever see a situation in the hiring process where you delivered a no or delivered some type of a part of the experience that really all you're trying to monitor, all you're trying to gauge is, how do they deal with difficulty? How do they deal with rejection? How do they deal with overcoming rejection, et cetera? And I'm still kind of thinking about it, like, that's interesting. If your goal is to try to pull those things out because of the position really requires it, could you ever see yourself doing something like that as a tactic?
Wow. That requires a lot of thought. What comes, you know, just right top of mind, though, I would say, is we do tend to do that as a recruiting team, and I'll give you, maybe an example of how we do it. If we have multiple rounds of interviews, for example, and after the first round, you know, we have a short debrief and kind of review how all of the candidates did during the first round. We decide which ones we'd like to invite to second round interviews, potentially. We will give feedback to those candidates that we invite to a second round, and I would call it more constructive rather than negative. But at the end of the day, you know, we want all of the candidates to do as well as possible. And so if there are some course corrections that we've identified as a recruiting team that we think would help those candidates proceed on with the interview process, of course we'll share that. I think it's a wonderful way to, as I said, create a more personal and direct experience, because if it's one thing that candidates are looking for, again, whether they be internal or external, it's really robust feedback. And, you know, people can take it. I think, you know, we maybe think we may need to be more sensitive than not, but people really want to know how they can continue to do better and to improve for the next time.
That is totally true. Well, we talked about candidate experience a little bit, as William said, and you have mentioned some fantastic ideas. So from an external perspective, I mean, from a third-person perspective, how do you make sure this candidate experience still continues, even that candidate becomes an employee of your organization?
Yeah, great question. I think it's really important to remind people that attracting the best team doesn't end at the hiring process. So once a candidate has accepted the position, It really continues well beyond the hiring process and well beyond the day one on the job. And we're working actually really diligently to ensure that when people join the organization, they can really develop and thrive and enjoy all the success for a great career at BASF. So, you know, whether it's through establishing a corporate standard for day one onboarding, so everybody, no matter what site they're joining, has a day one that looks relatively similar. You know, on the day one, for example, we'd like all our new hires to have a buddy, which is assigned to them, which is a more experienced BASF employee who can sort of guide them through the first 90 days of their work experience, answering all those maybe silly questions like where's the bathroom or who am I going to have lunch with today. And then that continues on through a very nice program that we've developed recently called Welcome to BASF, which is meant to be an extended 18-month onboarding program. We actually bring our new hires to Florham Park to the headquarters for a few days of an extended onboarding during the first 6 months to a year that they've been with the organization to discuss and view business presentations, meet more of the leadership of the company and other employees from different sites. We also offer a formal mentoring program, which is available to all employees who want to gain better insight about BASF from a BASF leader and also maybe get some continued support as their career is progressing. So I think we're continuing to, you know, emphasize that, you know, attracting the best team, as I said, doesn't really end at the hiring process. In fact, it's just beginning.
So when people talk about the skills gap, you know, it's hitting some of the mass media. What's your take generally on kind of the skills gap, both at the company, but also what you see when you're kind of reaching out into the larger market to pull people, talented people into the company?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say that we tend to focus more on talent shortage in general. You know, we want to make sure that our external labor supply will be there to sustain our continued profitable growth. But I think also in terms of, you know, closing the skills gap, we tend to do some things at the local level in order to close some of those gaps. For example, at our production level, we work quite closely with community colleges in the states in which we have, you know, heavy operations, such as the state of Texas, to develop actual curriculum which will help us develop, you know, in the external labor market, the skills that we need to actually run our plants. So that's one you know, initiative that we've undertaken in the past several years to make sure that we're closing those types of skills gaps.
You know, you mentioned diversity a couple times, which I appreciate. I assume that you're thinking of diversity in a lot of different ways, but I want to get your, you know, when you say diversity, what do you mean when you say that word?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, it's both, let's say, the quote-unquote traditional definition, so, you know, race, gender, ethnicity, et cetera, but also, as I mentioned, you know, diversity in terms of thought, opinion, experiences. We don't just look to target top talent from within the chemical industry. You know, we are always looking to attract folks from different industries because they've had, as I said, different experiences in the ways that they have worked in different organization designs with different business strategies. And, you know, that is, as I said also earlier, you know, reflective of the industries that we serve. So, you know, we're serving, as I say, our aerospace, automotive, personal care products, and so many others. And so we need that our workforce, you know, kind of reflects the same diversity of experiences.
Awesome. Listen, we've got only about 60 seconds left, and I want to ask you just an inspirational question. Where have you been drawing some inspiration lately?
Wow. Well, you know, again, I think I'm really lucky. I draw most of my inspiration from my peers and colleagues here in the company, whether they be sitting here in the U.S. or down in Brazil or in Germany. You know, it's a really interesting, important, and exciting time at BASF. and I'm lucky to be surrounded with such great colleagues. But also, I lean very heavily on my external professional networks, folks from Career Crossroads, from Executive Networks, and some of the others who, as I say, have diverse experiences themselves and always keep me on my toes and keep thinking about how I can make talent acquisition that source of competitive advantage for BASF.
I love me some Jerry Crispin. That's awesome. ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for listening to Drive Through. Bernadette, thank you for coming on and breaking it down and just kind of giving us some insight into your world. Everyone have a wonderful afternoon, and thanks again for listening to Drive Through HR.
Thanks a lot,
thanks,
everybody.
Bernadette. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.